Start your morning off right with Nashville's dynamic duo, Robbie Stanley.
Just beautiful.
And Joe Rexroad.
Glad we get that started.
This is Robbie and Rexroad, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, where the best clinic is your home. On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Slingshot in game.
And welcome in to the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you. Hope everybody's off to a fabulous start of your Friday morning. And I hope you enjoyed yesterday, because starting tonight, Joe, it's going to get really cold around here for like a week and a half.
Yeah, I noticed it's like in the 50s right now, but it's also raining, so yeah. Be careful out there. I ran through some precip, but it's about to get Arctic, isn't it?
It is, which I know Keezer's excited about.
Look how excited. Look, he's got a short-sleeve shirt in there. He's so
fired
excited.
Up.
He's so
happy. I'm comfortable. I'm always comfortable at work in my T-shirts, man. This is a nice shirt. I got this for Christmas.
Well, I was looking at the, there's a chance for snow here on Sunday night, which means that every grocery store in the area is just going to get raided this weekend, so that'll be fun. But I also saw where it's going to be like, there's a chance it could be like -2 Sunday night into Monday morning too, which
actual
be fun.
Temp.
Yeah. Like actual temp. At least that up in my neck of the woods, down here in the big city in Nashville, probably be a little bit warmer. So like +1. +2.
Do you think since I'm south of the sea, will I be a nice toasty like 0 maybe or something?
Maybe.
Probably not. I'll probably
maybe
be
so.
About the same as you. Hey, I apologize. I'm setting up my health account on my phone, so I have to do Face ID. Okay, so here we go.
That's good.
So just I gotta look and put my face.
Hopefully
in front
it recognizes
of my
your face.
Do I
Nick
smile
Keezer,
like this?
How are you? Well, he's got to answer the phone. He can't talk.
Listen, we get 5 minutes with Keezer, and then he ignores us.
Yeah,
okay?
He's just totally done for the rest of the day. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. Jared Stillman joining us at 7 o'clock for his weekly discussion on the state of the Tennessee Titans. Fresh off a victory for Jared Stillman in the Jared versus Joe competition, which I can't remember the last time he had one. So
I can't either, and it came about because, I don't know, Chase. I think Chase, you know, Ian was going to do that. Because Caroline couldn't do it, and then yeah. Chase steps in. Why? Why does Chase step in? I feel like it's a bit of... And then he said Jared wrote out the questions for me. What?
So
this was...
The fix is in.
Yeah, I mean, this was throwing Jared a bone. But he's letting everybody know that he's right about everything, including the Christmas card with no Ran on it. He forgot about that one. And Stretch, the Super Titan on TV.
Yeah. Christmas card with no Ran. Oh, that was... We could probably add that one to the list of my all-time favorites.
That's weird how he hasn't been bringing that up this week, but all the things he's been right about.
We'll hear from Jared Allen, Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist at 7:30. Really fun interview with him, so looking forward to that coming up at 7:30 today. And it's Ron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, joining us at 8 o'clock today on the program as well. Bill Belichick out yesterday in New England. I watched his part of the press conference. And then, lo and behold, Joe, Robert Kraft got in front of the media. It started answering some questions yesterday.
Whoa.
When he fired the coach. It was wild to see an NFL owner up there doing a press conference. Crazy.
Funny how that works, right? Funny how that works. Yeah. That's going to be a topic for later, by the way.
Good.
But with that as the idea, because you know, it is worth wondering. I've heard some people say, do owners really talk? I'm like, well, I mean, not all of them for sure, but yeah, for the most part. Of course, this is a big, you know, this is a big moment, obviously, with Robert Kraft,
sure,
and Bill Belichick. And, you know, I feel like the way that they went about it was probably about as well as you could have a breakup.
I would agree.
You know, and so I heard this stat on Athletic, what?
Unsportsmanlike.
Thank you, unsportsmanlike, coming in.
Welcome into Uninspired.
Now, Chris Candy had this amazing stat as I was driving in. Since Belichick took that job, he said the other 31 teams have fired 162 coaches.
That's pretty wild.
Oh, my God. That might be the best. You know, all week there's been all these crazy stats, especially around Saban and Belichick. I mean, Saban and Belichick, Pete Carroll, all within 24 hours. there's amazing stats out there about like what they've done. I went through and counted it up. 23 years, in the last 23 years, one of them is either of those three guys has either won or played for a championship in 15 of the 23 years.
It's crazy.
And in the all the other 8 years, at least one of them was like in the Final Four. You know what I mean? Like, but that might be the best stat. 162 coaches fired in the since Bill Belichick took that job.
How many of those were Lions and Browns coaches?
Oh my, yeah, exactly. They had Jets. Like 70 of them.
Oh man, it was a nice way. I agree with you. It was a nice way for them to part ways yesterday, and now we'll see what's next for Belichick. It looks like Gerard Mayo, according to just the reporting around it, is the leading candidate for the job based on what I've seen to this point. So Chad Graff put that out there last night, and Ian Rappaport had a report basically about how, you know, they've basically had a succession plan from Bill Belichick to Gerard Mayo that they've talked with the league about. So they wouldn't have to like go through the normal interview process. They could just hire Gerard Mayo if they wanted to. So they haven't officially done it yet, but it looks like Gerard Mayo is the leader in the clubhouse to be the Patriots' next coach.
Yeah, I think we talked about, was it pre-Vrabel fire, right after, whatever. I'd heard like there was a lot of, it was very split. Mayo, Vrabel, very good chance of either one. But like you said, I feel like the plan has kind of been like, obviously it wouldn't go this bad. And so, like, Mac Jones would be good. You know, I mean, 2 years ago, they won 10 games and got the playoffs. And then maybe you have another year or two and you have the happier handoff to Gerard Mayo. So it gets it is accelerated, but it looks that way, that he's the strong leader in the clubhouse, which, first of all, makes me – I mean, I don't wonder totally about the Vrabel smoke because I think Vrabel has been very much a – you know, a real candidate for them. I mean, Ben Volin from the Boston Globe, home run candidate. You know, he reported Robert Kraft thought that of Vrabel.
Yeah.
But it does all the tampering, all that stuff. It's kind of like, well, yeah, end up not being Vrabel,
right?
If that's what it is. And then, of course, you wonder. So, who is hiring Vrabel?
It's a good question. I mean, I assume he gets hired this coaching cycle, but maybe he doesn't.
See, the thing is, I think there'd be some satisfaction in Titans headquarters if he didn't get hired.
I agree.
But at the same time, it would mean that Amy Adams Strunk is paying him next year. And so, for him, I'm sure he's ready to go get a new job, and he's gonna definitely interview. And I think he will get one of them. Seattle, Washington, something.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't, I think he'd be like, yeah, I'll play some golf. Amy, make sure that check is nice and crisp when it comes in on Friday. Thank you.
Me and John Robinson are going to go play golf together out here. We'll see you guys later. Be good stuff. So you and Diana Russini set the world on fire yesterday with on Titans Twitter about the story that we brought up yesterday of how Vrabel's firing came to be and some details in that story. Lots of reaction that I saw to that piece yesterday. What have you made of the reaction to you and Diana's piece at The Athletic? And now that it's been out for a little bit, is there anything more that you'd like to say about the piece?
Well, first of all, some people are mad. But there hasn't been anyone who has tried to claim anything was inaccurate. So that's good. I'd say the messaging back from people we talked to was, you know, was that one, that it was accurate. But again, when I say accurate, like, we have Jared on, and I, you know, Jared and I talked yesterday because I was like, I think you might need to talk about this just so you have some background, because I just, you know, I knew he was going to pick it apart or go through it. Look, accurate, but still there are things in there that are people saying to us about someone's mindset that I don't necessarily, like, for example, you know, we reported that the Titans considered firing Vrabel a year ago. I don't know that I totally buy that Amy Adams Strunk seriously considered that. I can't prove it. But, you know.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Had that happened, it would have been, you think about people are mad. Now, there's plenty of Titans fans who have been happy about this, and that's fine. But yeah, talk about people mad then.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it would have been 98-2. So I just, You know, I think obviously they tried to make this work and it didn't work. I've also definitely there's a fan reaction. Oh, so this you're a mouthpiece for Vrabel? Oh, so you're a mouthpiece for ownership?
Yeah.
So if you get both of those things, like, well, I mean, I tweeted at somebody, like, this is not a, quote, one side of the story story. You can't do that.
Right.
You can't do that. So I told this to Jared. It's like, basically what you can, there's a lot of other stuff. There's always stuff. There's always stuff that you can't write. You know, one thing we didn't want to do was write anything that wasn't corroborated by multiple people with different perspectives. You know, you can't do that. So, I mean, you know, I think overall, yeah, there was a lot of reaction. There's no doubt about it. But, again, I saw a reaction like, oh, my God, Amy, this is just so – and then it's like, look, it Vrabel looks like terrible. So, I was like, well, I mean, look, I guess if you have a multitude of reactions, I think it was fair. Again, there's always more to it and things like that. The draft stuff was probably the biggest – and I did change the story, by the way. It didn't change it much, but I added a little bit of a line, and Kaharski, you know – text me like, why can't you change the story? I'm like, just calm down, you know. But the whole thing with the draft board,
yeah,
which is I think worth talking about, because some people took it as we had a line in there that Ryan Cowden ran the entire draft board for the Titans, and so some people read that and said, oh, so Rand just like was like watching TV during the draft,
right.
You know. Running the draft board is something that actually usually the GM doesn't do that. So, you know, and also, again, remember, when you hire a GM in January, all the scouts, all those people have been working all year on the draft. You know, this is how it always works out. I mean, Robinson was fired. Everybody else stayed. Everybody else was there with him. Now, I'm trying to remember. I think Austin Fort, I guess Austin Fort had been, yeah, he was already.
He's already new.
He was already with the Cardinals. Yeah, that's right, right. Yeah. So, you know, so two people were gone. Two of their top three people were gone. So Cowden was back, as we reported, as other people have reported. Vrabel and Cowden work well together. Vrabel wanted him, and he didn't get the job, but he stayed on through the draft. So, the line that I added was, quote, though it's standard for pre-existing personnel staffs to work through the next NFL draft when a new GM is hired shortly before that draft, comma, Cowden ran the Titans' entire draft board to keep the process organized. Initially, we just wrote, Cowden ran the entire draft board, and some people took it wrong.
People were going nuts, yeah.
That said, there's, you know, there's interesting stuff about his role and that draft beyond that, too. So, there's a little bit of a middle ground with that whole thing. And frankly, since we wrote this, I've got new information on that too.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We're off and running on Robbie and Rex Road. We've got more to get to on Joe's piece at The Athletic yesterday, along with Diana Russini. Your reaction to that as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Discussing Joe and Diana Russini's piece at The Athletic yesterday. A lot of discussion about Ryan Cowden, his role with the draft. And Joe, you said you learned some more information about that yesterday.
Well, yeah, so it's like, people kind of misunderstood the draft board thing, right? So, absolutely, what that means is you're basically organizing everything. You got your best value, you got your need. You know, you have the two things, horizontal, vertical, and you're running that. And you're so that doesn't mean that you are saying now you will now pick this player. But we did get some, I guess some pushback in terms of. Cowden did a little more still, though, than you would have expected, you know? I mean, that's the thing. So Cowden's role, Cowden's voice all the way. And at that point, you knew he was going to be out after that. There was no, at least I believe that, there was no world where Cowden was, like, to me. It's almost like people saying, well, Tannehill, stay to be the backup.
Yeah.
Once Ryan Cowden didn't get the job, Ryan Cowden's going to be a GM close soon enough. He was up for the Steelers. He's been up for other GM jobs. I think that's happening soon. He wasn't going to go through all that and then stay on, especially, you know, obviously Rand Carthon has a 2 and a 3, Brinker Robinson. So all that said, basically the information I got was don't underrate that Cowden had an extraordinarily large voice, even in a scenario. Yes, this happens all the time. Pre-existing staffs, the scouts, all of them have been working. They continue to work through the draft. There's a new GM. Some people know. I mean, a lot of people are working for their jobs. There's a lot of those scouts who are here still. Now, that may change. Carthon was asked about that the other day.
Yep.
And maybe the scouting staff starts to look a little different. That's what happened under Robinson. You know, we talked about Blake Bedingfield, who should, you know, get a parade in Nashville at some point for fighting like hell to get Derrick Henry drafted by the Titans.
Blake Bedingfield Day here in Nashville.
But, you know, but, I mean, he did that, and of course they didn't know when he was fired that Derrick Henry was going to be great. But the point is, eventually Robinson changed over some things, and he was one of the people. Phil Neary, another guy I talked to, and some other scouts were gone. So that may change. All of which is an aside to, yes, they stay around, they help, but Cowden's role was bigger than you would have thought. And Carthon's, I mean, I think Carthon's draft this year, like, it's a very different situation, you know? Like, it's a much bigger, again, was Carthon, he was the GM, he's in the conversations, of course, he was involved, but I think it's going to be a pretty significant transition to his role in this draft. So, not trying to say Carthon gets no credit for the last draft. I am saying that Cowden had a bigger role than I realized, and some people were kind of raising their eyebrows at the largeness of the role.
So, bottom line on the Carthon front, there's a lot that he has to prove, right? I mean, and look, that's no different than any other first-time general manager, but I do think with Vrabel out of there now, and we'll see what the coaching hire looks like, which, you know, is part of all this. With Vrabel out, with Cowden out, with all these things, like this is going to be, to some degree, you know, Rand Carthon's team and his stamp on this team. We're about to find out what that looks like. So it's a big moment for him. It's a big offseason for him. And, you know, without knowing who the coach is going to be and what that dynamic looks like, because it is interesting. I think there are people that just assume that, okay, now that Vrabel's gone, that Carthon, when everything's said and done here, is going to have say over the hire, and he's going to have final say over the roster, and that's going to be what it is in the traditional power structure. And I don't know. Like, I thought it was interesting that Amy Adams Strunk, in her 5-minute interview with Mike Keith, said, "I'll let you know who's going to have final say at the end of all this," right? Like, I don't know what that means. Like, I assume Rand Carthon is going to be the one that has that. But, you know, what coach are they going to hire? How much power are they willing to give a coach? And after the way that things just went down with Vrabel, from what, after reading your piece and just piecing together information that you can go back and trace, looks to be some lack of communication, which is concerning. And also, clearly, they had a problem with some of the either request or the idea of a coach having that much power. Like, I heard Chad Withrow on with Jared yesterday, and his point was, yeah, I mean, probably the number one thing on the list of the things that they're looking for a coach is how agreeable is he with the new power structure that they have. And I don't know that I totally buy that, but I do wonder, like, what's this power structure going to look like, and why was Amy Adams Strunk, when she was asked about it, not willing to just go ahead and say, yeah, Rand Carthon's going to be the one that has final say at the end of this.
Yeah. No, it's – look, Diana reported another thing yesterday. You know, a lot of things are, you know, tweeted out, and, you know, she's – a lot of teams to deal with here, but she reported that the Titans are not going to be interested in Harbaugh and
– Belichick.
Belichick, right? Well, what would both of those guys bring? They'd bring what Vrabel asked for,
yeah,
right? So, so I don't know that – I don't know that I would take that to they want a docile coach who will shut up and listen to what, you know, but I do take that to they don't want the coach established enough to say, no, I want, again, look, it's clear, okay? And like I said yesterday, I didn't realize until this week that Vrabel actually verbalized, I want control. But it's clear Amy Adams Strunk is completely averse to that. And I don't have a problem with she cites good examples.
Sure.
It didn't work out in the end for Belichick once Brady left. Sure didn't work out for O'Brien eventually. Good coach, bad GM, fired. And I think the biggest thing is the way everything worked out with Jeff Fisher and he and Floyd Reese at the end and he, whatever, won the power struggle. So I get the idea of not wanting that. But does that mean – what does that mean? I mean, if agreeable – like, again, agreeable, collaborative. I mean, I think the word collaboration is going to continue.
I think it's going to be
what
a buzzword.
What if when they hire the new coach, is she going to say, now, let me tell you, it's going to be collaboration. No! You know, like she set the expectation that she's going to say one person or the other has final say. I'm going to tell you who has roster, you know, control the fit through all that stuff. And what if she's just like, now that we have a coach, it's a collaboration.
I halfway expect that.
I kind of do too. Like, you can't do that, but you can because you own the football team.
Right.
But this is where, you know, it's like, I get it. Like, you have this new system in place, and Vrabel, coaches did not feel like they understood, like, what the analytics were doing in terms of personnel. Okay, well, it was the first year. I know that Brinker has models that they've said he is, like, working on, and they relate to injury and salary cap stuff to analyze players or, you know, analyze cap, analyze players from an injury perspective. But, you know, now that this system remains, the coach is out, how different is the next coach's role compared to Vrabel's role? I still don't know, like, who said what
right.
on this player or that player, you know, through the whole process. But I'm with the idea, look, they want a young coach because they want someone whose best coaching is ahead of them and they want to develop together and all that stuff. That's cool. If it's because, you know, you don't want someone who's, I guess, like, too big of a voice, I don't know. Like, some of these coaches coming up, you can't demand that stuff unless you kind of have some skins on the wall.
Exactly.
But so,
look, I full disclosure, like, I don't want the Titans to hire Bill Belichick. Like, I would rather see them go in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't have a deep problem with them apparently just not having interest in Belichick. You know, Harbaugh, I'm not convinced Harbaugh would want to come here anyway. So, like, the likelihood of them landing a Belichick or a Harbaugh to me was not very high to begin with.
True.
Now, having said that, I do think it's a mistake that you just totally cross the idea of interviewing both of them off the list because you think that maybe their personality is too big to come in there. Like, I think that's...
Or their demands also.
Like, what if Jim Harbaugh does look at the situation and says, you know what? I like the division they play in. I like the quarterback. I like Will Levis. I think you can flip the roster around pretty quickly. And what if he would be interested in coming? Like, you just taking him off the board because he might have a little bit more personality and might be asking for much for you know, similar things to what Vrabel is asking for. Like, what if you think he's the best coach when you interview him? Like, so again, I don't think it's likely that either one of those would have ended up here anyway, but I do think it's a mistake to just, no, we're not doing that because we don't want somebody coming in and asking for control.
Right. And again, we talked about Belichick. Maybe Belichick's like, yeah, I just want to coach football. Like, give me a good GM.
Yeah.
Let's coach football. Look, I think some of this, and this is like, it just can't be because there's different personalities that they're going to interview. Even these people aren't accomplished yet. There's different kinds of people they're going to interview, different personalities and all that stuff. I think that Vrabel's personality is something Amy Adams Strunk doesn't want again. Like, I think that they feel like he was too, whatever word you want to put on it.
Brash, overbearing.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess egotistical.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's, you know, football coaches who have success, it's, I mean, you know, you're going to, I don't know what you're looking for here, you know?
Exactly. We've got more to say on this matter, including some candidates that are still coming in for the Titans, their interest level. And one thing yesterday about Joe and Diana's piece that I read that really bothers me about the Titans. We'll get into that coming up next as well. Tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick the Click and win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Pick the Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Home of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Tune in to 102.5 The Game tomorrow for Vanderbilt men's basketball. Commodores taking on Ole Miss on the road. Pre-game beginning at 11:30. Tip-off at noon. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 1063 The Game. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. We're live from our Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. So, Joe, there was one part of you and Diana's piece yesterday that really stood out to me, and you and I kind of talked about it off the air yesterday, but I took it to Twitter yesterday, and people were fired up about that too. So I'll just read it.
I missed this.
It goes back to the, you know, the Patriots comments and Vrabel going to his, you know, Ring of Honor Hall, Patriots Hall of Fame induction weekend, and the comments that he talked about of, you know, not everywhere is like this, and appreciate what you have, all those other things. And there's a line that you and Diana put in the story, basically talking about that whole event, and then it says, quote, "The whole event did not sit well with Strunk," a team source said. "She and Vrabel never talked about it, but she let it fester." And my tweet yesterday was, if I'm a Titans fan, this is the most concerning line in this entire story to me, is "the whole event did not sit well with Strunk," a team source said. "She and Vrabel never talked about it, but she let it fester." And my reaction to that is, how can that be if apparently your coach has gone somewhere and has said something that has bothered you so much that you let those feelings linger? And I think it plays a decent part into why you're firing him at the end of the year, and you never approach him about it and never talk to him about it. Now, as I said in the tweet I put out yesterday, like, Vrabel, I think, has some responsibility there too.
Yes.
With going and talking to he could have also gone and said, "Hey, look, I know that people are going nuts with these comments right now. I was not intending to take a shot at the Titans." Or if he was, "Hey, yeah, I don't want to be here." Like, conversations needed to have happened. But it's just wild to me that if you're an NFL owner and your coach has said something in a public setting that has upset you to the degree that you're just hanging on to it all year long, that you'd never address it with him at any point. Like, that would really bother me. And it's not just that, but it makes me think back to other things that have happened. And I've said this all along, and people poo-pooed it at the time, and some people still don't agree with it. And if you don't, that's fine. But you'll never convince me that the firing of John Robinson and when it happened was not directly related to A.J. Brown kicking their butt 2 days before. You'll never convince me of it. It seems like it was an emotional reaction of, "Oh my gosh, we traded A.J. Brown and he just embarrassed us and all these Philadelphia fans were yelling at me and I'm firing John Robinson." And was that the right move to fire John Robinson? You can certainly make the argument that it was. You and I have talked about the timing of it when they did it 7-5 in the middle of the season in first place, and you can't tell me that wasn't a distraction for the team. This is more of a pattern of that behavior. Like, you're letting things fester rather than actually, you know, being proactive and getting out there in front of a problem. And that bothers me if I'm a Titans fan.
Yeah. No, totally. And the thing is, I think we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but something to not underrate about this. I agree, like, the Robinson firing, all of it, 13 months, you know, it's a different perspective that I have on ownership here. But don't underrate, once that happened, Mike Vrabel, John Robinson was the buffer between Mike Vrabel and Amy Adams Strunk, which is good. I mean, if you're a coach of a football team and you've got someone in the front office who deals with your owner, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, well, that then was gone, you know. And so when it was removed, as we've talked about, this was written in here too, you know, I think, first of all, it's an adjustment for both of them to deal with each other. And so I think that, you know, I think that that didn't always go great, especially, again, in the hiring of Rand Carthon. Vrabel spoke up and said that he didn't think Carthon was ready yet to go from number three in San Fran, as, you know, as Jared has pointed out, really number four, because Kyle, final say, but, you know, number three in the personnel group, to GM. What about going to number two, and then, you know, from there you get a, you know, you get a GM job. So that was not taken, you know, that was not taken well. So you had that, and you had Vrabel full control request. Hell no on Amy's side.
Yeah.
But like you said, like now whatever the structure is, and they're trying to put in this modern process, and they're trying to have this new way of going about things. You knew that like Vrabel and Amy have to be on the same page. They have to communicate all the time, right? And I agree. I mean, I like the fact that Amy didn't do that. But the fact that the Titans wanted to make sure to have a story out there that Vrabel was going to be the guy.
Yeah.
All that stuff. And it turns out that was also, that wasn't just declaring that, it was also trying to send a message to him. Well, just talk to him.
Yeah. It's wild to me. Hey, look, let me say, because I remember discussing this at the time, I actually love the fact that she didn't have a whole lot of time for the Vrabel full control thing. Because we talked about that at the time when they fired John Robinson. I'm not really a huge fan of the head coach having total control over personnel.
Like, yeah, I disagree that he earned it.
Yeah, like yeah. I don't.
I agree. She I was don't right think on
it,
that.
I don't think it generally works when you do that. So everybody just assumed that when they fired John Robinson – that it was like, oh, well, Vrabel is now stepping in, and he's going to have final say in all those things.
But final say is different from full control.
It is. Yeah. But I like the fact that she said, no, we're not. You're not getting full control. So it's interesting, but that brings up another. Like, it's interesting to me that she's willing to have a conversation on that and say, no, we're not doing that. But something has bothered her that he said publicly, and she won't go address it with him. It just doesn't add up to me.
Well, what it feels like, well, first of all, we're basically just talking about like Guiding Light, Days of Our Lives, football. But that's what the NFL is, right? It's our soap opera. It's our just never ending soap opera.
It really is.
Hey, there's Vrabel on the screen as they talk about the Patriots head coach. I think there was some of this was written in the story, but I think she felt like, and I'm speculating here, no, he should come to me and address that. You know what I mean? And he felt like, and I know this, why do I have to deal with this BS of media? Act like a man, Jared! You know? So, in both cases, there's a little bit of, like, pride and, like, well, it's not on me to do that. But it's like, well, if you guys want this to work, then you both need to, one of you needs to say something to the other. It got to be an untenable thing. But it's just kind of ridiculous how it got to that.
Yeah. So.
And I blame both sides.
I agree. There's blame on both sides to go around. It is wild to me, though, that, like, if you're the owner part of this, I mean, you're his boss. So if something is bothering you that bad, go ask him about it. Like, you can ask him about anything you want to. You're his boss. Go ask him about it. And it would bother me if I'm a Titans fan that the communication was apparently that bad, where it led to, regardless of what you think of Vrabel, firing him, whether or not that was the right move, communication has got to get better in this Titans organization as they move forward here with a new coach, yeah, with Rand, all those things.
Right. Like Amy and Rand, how is that?
Right.
Austin from Clarksville said, do you think Rand is incompetent, you know, as when it comes to being a GM? I know Jared loves using that word. Look, I can't possibly speak to that. It was not a good presser the other day. It was a terrible spot he was in. I don't know the scoreboard on every bit of input on it. Look, it was not a good free agent class. I think the draft class is pretty good. And all those things go on his name. Again, John Robinson will always have credit for drafting Derrick Henry, and he was adamantly against it. And yet I still do give him credit because he ultimately said, okay, what do you guys – really? Malarkey, really? All right, let's do it, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's the scoreboard, Austin. That's the thing. I don't have any reason to sit here and say, oh, he's incompetent, they're screwed, he has no chance. I mean, we're going to find out. This offseason is going to tell us a ton because now it's all his thing. You know, they're going to bring in this coach to fold into how they do things, and they're all going to work together on the free agency and the draft. And I think a much easier question to answer. But I think that saying that is way premature, and frankly, it's just dramatic and it's not fair. I don't think it's fair at all at this point.
Yeah, I mean, this is where we're going to start to find out, right? I mean, he's going to start doing his job right now. So we'll see. Joe, real quickly, on the coaching search front, we talked yesterday about how it was not yet reported as of the time that we went off the air yesterday about the Titans requesting permission to interview Bobby Slowick. Yesterday they did.
There
so
you go.
Bobby Slowick, you can add him to the list.
The net is wide. It's like everybody except Harbaugh and Belichick.
You two, stay out there.
As Jared noted yesterday, it is interesting. That report did not say anything about Pete Carroll. So, who knows?
The Pete Carroll thing is interesting.
It is.
I'm not totally convinced that he's done coaching. Is he going to be happy just going up there, just hanging around, helping out in the building, being someone's life coach?
I don't know. I don't think so. We'll see.
I wonder what he was presented with things. We still don't know what Vrabel was presented with. That's weird. I haven't heard Ian Rappaport expand on that anymore.
I haven't either. We had a lot of suggestions of what it could be on the text line yesterday, though. We'll keep those coming.
Left-hand middle finger, right-hand middle finger, or both.
Coming up next, it's time for Call Your Shot Friday. We'll take your called shots, your bold predictions in the world of sports. Who do you think is going to be the Titans head coach? Wild card weekend coming up this weekend in the NFL. You can take it any way you want to take it. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means.
Shoot your shot.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 102.5, The Game, and The Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your called shots, your bold predictions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexrode, how did we do last week? And Call Your Shot Friday.
Well, let's see. I said Derrick Henry will have a reception of more than 30 yards. I don't think he did. He had a great running day.
He did.
Harold Landry, 2 sacks. He had one, right? I only had two.
I believe one.
Duchesne hat trick against the Preds. Did not happen. Michael Penix throw for more than 300 on Michigan. I don't think he did he?
I don't think so.
Robbie, Penix, a pick on the first drive of the game. That didn't happen. Preds, I just typed Preds shutout in Dallas. Were you saying they were going to get
shut out? They're going to get
shut
out. That also did not happen.
Trevor Lawrence, 3 picks Sunday. That did not happen. He had two. And Derrick Henry, more than 30 carries. He didn't, but you were kind of on the right track with that. Nick, Derrick Henry, 3 touchdowns and 125 rushing.
I mean,
the rushing was they should have given him more touchdowns.
They handed him the ball.
And World Juniors, Team USA versus Sweden, a 5-4 win in comeback fashion.
Didn't happen.
And finally, Tanner. Let's not forget Tanner was our guest last week.
Yes.
2 rushing, 2 receiving, 1 passing for Derrick Henry. A 5-touchdown day. That would have been something. All right, so we're 0-4. Here we go.
Nick Kieser, your called shots for this week.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to say the next Patriots head coach will be Gerard Mayo, okay? And I will say he will be named the head coach before we are off the air on Monday. So this coming Monday, we will know before we get off the air that Gerard Mayo will be the next head coach of the Patriots.
They are allowed, I believe, to officially announce next week.
Yes, they are.
I was about to call BS on that since everybody's reporting he's going to be the exit, but I guess if you're going to be specific, that's fine.
Yeah.
And then my second one, and a little bit of information here for my Preds fans listening to us this morning.
Oh boy.
I'm going to say Gus Nyquist extends his point streak to 10 games this evening. Better yet, he breaks it on Saturday with his 11th game in a row with a point.
Okay.
Doesn't matter if he scores or gets an assist, in my mind. So just to give you some background as well, because I thought this was intriguing, and he's a 34-year-old forward. He's not done this. He's not had a 10-game point streak since March 16th of 2014, and his streak went until April 2nd. So over that time frame with the Red Wings, he had 12 goals and 2 assists. So much different this time around, but doesn't matter. He's still doing it at 34 years old, and he's not done that in a really long time. So go Gus. There you go.
Look at you using this as a vehicle for information. I like it.
And it should be, always.
Joe Rexrode, your called shots for this week.
Matthew Stafford, 400 yards passing. This is my poop on Detroit and Dallas edition. Matthew Stafford, 400 yards passing in his return to Detroit.
Okay.
A mighty team that will not yield. Jared Goff, 2 picks against his old team. Jordan Love, 4 touchdown passes in Dallas.
Preach.
UC Soros, a shutout tonight in Dallas. Those are my shots.
I like that. Rex Road's coming strong this
Detroit
week.
Detroit and Dallas misery is basically what I'm calling. The pits of misery.
All right. My called shot, Mike Locksley will be the next head coach at the University of Alabama. I don't know that it's going to be an overly sexy hire. The reaction from Alabama fans, probably not going to be great. But really, I think if they hire anybody that's not named like Lane Kiffin, the reaction from Alabama fans is going to be pretty bad.
Would they be excited about Lane Kiffin? Like your dad.
My dad probably would be from the entertainment value of it.
Sure.
But from what I've seen from Bama fans, they want Lane Kiffin, the Bama fans that I follow.
So they'd rather have – I know Dan Lanning's out of it, and he's used it as a recruiting pitch. They wanted me, and I'm staying.
Yes.
Good for him. Use it. But do you think that they wanted Lane over, like, Lanning or Sark?
Yeah, I do.
Good Lord. Also, they're, like, acting like – and I'm not saying I would want Dabo if I was a Bama fan, but, like, they're acting like Dabo Swinney's, like, never had a winning season. I mean, like,
they were out there outside of, you know, the memoriam that they placed up for Nick Saban with the oatmeal cream pies laying everywhere, just chanting anyone but Dabo is what these students were chanting.
Are you serious?
Yeah, dead serious.
God.
It's like, geez,
calm
man.
Down, everybody. I like that shot. That's an interesting one. There? That's an interesting
Locksley,
one. Locksley.
The next head coach. The Buffalo Bills will win against Pittsburgh by 20 or more points. A 20 or more point victory for the Buffalo Bills against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Jordan Love with a 60-plus yard touchdown pass on the first drive for the Green Bay Packers. They're scheming something up this week.
1 of 4 for the day.
1 of 4 for the day. And finally, Cole Smith, 2 goals tonight for the Preds against Dallas. He's done it a couple times this year where he scored twice in a game.
Are you gonna follow it again tonight. You going to follow through with that on Preds Pick to Click?
We'll see.
I mean, you're calling a shot. I think you should stick with it.
2 goals tonight for Cole Smith.
That's a shot.
It is. Josh on the text line says, and I think I've seen some of this the last day or so. I'm not sure how bold this is, but Vrabel, Tannehill, Henry, and Autry to the Patriots. They draft Marvin Harrison Jr. with their first pick, trade back into the first round to draft Penix or McCarthy, and the Titans are left in the dust. This is from Josh on the text line. I've seen a lot of the, well, wherever Vrabel goes, Tannehill's going to be the quarterback, and I just don't think I buy that. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, like, it could work out. It just depends. Like, first of all, it just depends. What's the job? Like, if he goes to Seattle, then I think Geno Smith is the bridge quarterback. You don't bring in another bridge quarterback, right? If Tannehill could Tannehill be like the bridge quarterback at the place where he goes, like say Atlanta, and then they draft someone or trade, you know, then I could see it. But this idea that wherever I go, you're going with me, RT.
Yeah,
nah, I don't think so.
Cam says Kalen DeBoer will be the next coach at Alabama. Also says Titans coach will not be Ben Johnson or Bobby Slowick, and that the Preds will trade UC Soros before next season. 3 shots from Cam.
That's some shots.
That's some shots right there.
That's some shots. DeBoer, if I was Bama, I'd call him.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that's – I don't know if that's a shot about not – yeah, I guess it's a shot, not Johnson or Slowick. Soros thing is very interesting.
That's a shot.
Yeah.
Travis says – Cody Glass will have a 3-point night, which is definitely
a shot.
And Josh Allen will throw for 350-plus yards and 3 touchdowns against the Pittsburgh Steelers. A lot of people expecting just an absolute annihilation of the Pittsburgh Steelers, including myself.
I'm rooting for some competitive ball there.
I hope so.
Coming
up next, we'll be joined by our friend Jared Stillman. We'll get his thoughts on the goings-on of the Tennessee Titans this week and where the Titans go from here in their coaching search. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.